Coming up on Colchonero Chat, we are back from international break, and we are here to discuss Atletico Madrid's demolition of Granada on Saturday evening. We'll also preview the midweek game in Russia in the Champions League and more. Stick with us. Buenos dias. Welcome to Colchonero Chat, the podcast of record of IntoTheCalderon.com, a proud member of the SB Nation family of blogs. Jeremy Barron with you here, along with Robbie Dunn.
Hello there, Jeremy.
Hello, Robbie. Good to hear from you.
Yeah.
And, mate, we have a great game from the weekend to discuss.
It was, yeah. There was a few great games, actually.
Yeah, very exciting weekend in La Liga. Sevilla finally notching an away win for starters. That started Saturday.
Yeah, it just literally came on the telly here, Sarabia's goal.
Yeah.
It was an absolute cracker, yeah. Really interesting what they're doing over there at Sevilla. So, yeah, it's interesting. Even if you're a neutral fan, not neutral, but even if you are, well, maybe not a Barca or Real Madrid fan, but definitely neutral, it's interesting that Atletico are back up at the top again and pushing them, and Sevilla are there, thereabouts. Villarreal are unbeaten. It's a really exciting time in La Liga, Spanish football, you know?
Definitely, a lot more balance, it seems, and there's always been talent and technical ability in La Liga, but it's more on display now. And, you know, Atletico is obviously their big win, which we'll discuss. Barcelona's convincing win over Deportivo, Real Madrid's win over Real Betis. There are going to be many who say La Liga is still an easy league. It's not an easy league. Real Madrid just got done drawing three straight games. Atletico have been held by Alaves this season. Alaves have beaten Barcelona. Leganés held Atletico as well, so it's a tougher league than it looks, and that's why, you know, three of the best five teams in Europe are in that league. So we need to keep that in mind. But
and that's it.
No, go ahead.
That's the thing with Atletico now doing so well. I mean, next week they could be beaten. I genuinely am worried that they'll fall off again, like they did maybe in last year. They fell off slightly. The year before last, they fell off hugely. Like, so you don't know what's going to happen. And
like, how are they going to mess this up? So yeah, you never know exactly. They're going to mess this up. That's the concern in the back of a lot of supporters' heads, because Atletico and the history of the club. But focusing partido a partido, day at a time. On Saturday, Atletico faced Granada at the Vicente Calderon, the first game at the Calderon since the 50th anniversary. And Atletico celebrated by putting not five, not six, but seven past the visitors. First time since November 2013, Atletico put up seven in a game. And it was a complete performance, almost from start to finish, even though Granada went ahead. And I guess we'll start at from there. What a goal from Granada. Cuenca got the goal, and it was a goal that, fair play to him, he's a decent player, but I'm not sure he can score that goal again.
Oh, it was like something out of a game of FIFA, or just something like out of a textbook, it seemed. It was just absolutely perfect. The way he controlled it, and it's hopped up perfectly to him. You know, you don't beat Jan Oblak with anything other than top quality finishing, and that was absolutely top drawer. Like, I know in basketball they say like someone's posterized, like that was, you could posterize that, like that was absolutely perfect. But yeah, it's interesting. It just that Jan Oblak, it was only the third goal of the season he's conceded.
And two of them have been wonder goals.
Yeah,
the other one was the Rakitic
absolutely
goal.
Yeah. The first one for Alaves was an excellent finish, but you might be slightly concerned that you can't. It wasn't a lapse in concentration. It was just a moment of excellence. It was just a moment of excellence by Granada and by Cuenca. It was just absolutely brilliant. That's it. They're going to concede probably another 15, 20 goals, maybe 15 goals this season. So, yeah, and the manner in which they didn't panic, and they got the. I said if they could get it level at halftime, they'd win the game. And I was concerned that if they didn't, they might struggle and they might only get a draw. And we know in the league, like, I mean, that's just, you can't be drawing games, especially if you want to compete at the very, very top. So I was kind of worried, but they didn't panic. They got the equaliser, and then they even went ahead of before half time. So it was just the way that they responded was absolutely magnificent. And I mean, we've run out of superlatives to use for Diego Simeone and how he, their mentality, but that was really important. To get level and then go ahead before halftime.
I was going to say, they did a little more than just equalize in the end. And really, it's amazing you could call this a come-from-behind victory, but it was. Because Atletico were trailing for about 15 minutes before Yannick Carrasco scored the first of his three goals. The first of the five he contributed to in a wonderful display that showed why he got the number 10 shirt. And We talked about it with Carrasco before, how earlier this season he was a bit unlucky, wanted it too much, wasn't really letting the game flow and letting it come to him. Well, he let it come to him on Saturday. The first goal he scored was just a belter off a chance that probably Griezmann should have put away. Normally he would put that away, but Ochoa made a very instinctive save on it to kind of paw it away with his right hand. Mm. But it bounced right back to Carrasco, who was waiting for it about 10 yards out, a little less than that, and he just smashed it home for the equalizer.
Yeah, yeah.
Really tremendous goal.
Yeah, like we said, I'm sure you've said it as well, but we always said that if Carrasco could get between 8 and 10 goals a season, he'd really add to his value to the team, he'd add to his own ability, he's talked about and discussed, and he's halfway to that with exactly 2.5 there. Months left before Christmas. So, he's that 30. And I had literally just said it before, I think it was the Wednesday or Thursday. And I said about, Carrasco, if that 35 million is a snip, like he could add those goals, and he's started doing that, and it just happened that he had an absolute stormer there the other day. And there was one point I was tweeting during the match, and I was watching it, and it just struck me that he could not do anything wrong. And I know that comes with confidence, and that can disappear as quickly as it appears, but he was doing absolutely nothing wrong. Every decision he made was perfect. Even little simple things were perfect.
Mm-hmm.
He was including people in play. He was getting people involved. He was creating chances. He looked dangerous himself, like he was going to score more. And I was just thinking, like, Atletico were linked with Hakan Çalhanoğlu, and I understand that. I don't know whether that was his own agent or how that was working, but they were linked with Hakan Çalhanoğlu, and Carrasco was kind of like a less refined version of Çalhanoğlu, quicker but less refined, and scored less goals. But now Carrasco's adding goals, and he's getting a little bit more. He's not as raw as he was, and he's going to surpass Çalhanoğlu now if he keeps this going. And what can you say? It was a fabulous performance, and while he hasn't been scoring, he got the important goal against Bayern Munich, obviously, and he's been playing really well. But he hadn't been scoring, but Saturday night was hopefully a turning point in his career at Atletico.
You mentioned his decision making, and both of his assists were pretty simple passes that just found their way to the right man, and the right man scored the goals. The assist on Thiago's goal, and Thiago's goal itself was, that was wonderful to see.
Those little passes when you're in the box, and when you're like the likes of Arsenal or Barcelona, they're just little passes in and out, but they're so close to goal that they can just, like, a defender makes a wrong step or tries to jump a pass, or and you're in on goal, you know. And now that Atletico are, as I said earlier, defending with the ball, like there's so much more possession now, and that kind of thing is going to happen. So yeah, he was just everywhere and in the box. Those little kind of true passes and little kind of weighted passes, just absolutely brilliant. And they can always lead to goals when you're dominating in that respect.
The second goal Carrasco scored was wow. Did not see that one going in. It was was a wrong-footed shot that caught Ochoa completely by surprise. When I first saw it, I thought it took a ricochet or a deflection somewhere, but he struck it with the wrong foot and it completely caught Ochoa off guard. And that they had them had Atletico going into halftime with the 2-1 advantage, and really they did not look back from there. Griezmann had a pretty quiet game, but he did set up Carrasco's third with a really lung-bursting run down the right side of the box and just crossed it in for Carrasco. Gamero made a brilliant little dummy, and then Carrasco finished for his hat trick. Then the goals really started to flow after that. Nico Gaitán came on, scored his first two goals for Atletico. Gaitán's goals were magnificent.
I don't know if you saw Twitter, but when I was tweeting about it, I looked down to write about Carrasco scoring, and all of a sudden, I looked up and it was 4-1. And I was counting them, and I said, what's it? And they were tipping off, so I just thought it was normal. And then I was like, what's... Then I looked at my phone, I was like, Gaitán's after scoring, and he wasn't even playing. I said, he's after coming on and scoring in that length of time, whatever it was. I was like, jeez, that was quick. But yeah, it was just, Granada fell apart. And I understand that Granada are kind of in free fall at the moment. I got a text off my brother in Ireland. He said, what do you think? Will Atletico beat Granada? He was going to put a bet on it. And I said, absolutely. And I said, and I'm not a betting man, but if I was, I'd go minus two goals.
Conservative.
But I said, and he said, why? And I said, Granada are in free fall. They have a terrible record at the Calderon, and Atletico are just flying it, like. And he said, yeah, grand. So, yeah, Granada fell apart, and in previous times, you would have seen Atletico get it to 3-1, shut up shop, and just... But it's like they couldn't help themselves. They're just, that's the way they play now. That's the way they're hungry for goals and they want to get more, and that's just the way it is, you know?
You and I talked about it on the season preview podcast that the Atletico were going to put up 4, 5, 6 with regularity in the league this year. And this is already the third time they've put up 4 or more. And we're in the middle of October. They did that once all of last season. And it was towards the end of the season at home against Real Betis. And as I mentioned at the outset, this is the first time in nearly 3 years Atletico have scored 7 in a game. And you're right, they just could not help themselves. And Correa got on the score sheet with a really nice effort. Thiago into the top of the net. Loved seeing that. And it was great to see him get a goal, you know, almost a year after breaking his leg and losing his spot in the team. But overall, it was a very complete performance. There were a couple things that surprised me, though, in that Atletico did not come out 4-3-3 like I thought they would. They came out 4-4-2. They stuck with it most of the game, almost the entire game, really. They were in 4-4-2. And Granada just had no answers. That's a team that's in serious trouble, I think. The way they played, the way they have played this season, they're already on their second manager. Well, third manager get their caretaker, but they're in deep trouble, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And that's kind of the risk-reward with Paco Kemeth. Like, okay, the reward mightn't be as high as the risk is, but now that he's gone and he's kind of left them in a little bit of a pickle, they're not really sure where they're at, and their head's dropped, and they had no real, like, I don't really know what they were trying to do against Atletico. Fair enough, that wonderful strike by Cuenca, but after that it was like, wow, they didn't really ever look like not conceding 4 or 5.
They really didn't.
Juan Fran was excellent on the day.
Juan Fran was phenomenal. Yes, I thought he was excellent in attack. Felipe, again, very solid. Is Felipe Luis the best left back in Europe right now?
I'd say he has to be, yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, his other... I don't watch Bayern as much. And his only other competition will be the likes of Alaba. Jordi Alba's injured. Marcelo's injured. Not that these guys are a patch on him, but they're the only guys who might. Who else would you even have up there, left back? Yeah, like, and he's just brilliant. And his balance, he's just so balanced. He can defend so well. He never gets caught out. He never looks like he's in trouble in that respect. He's so good going forward. He he complements Carrasco quite well down that left-hand side, because Carrasco, being an attacking player, doesn't typically defend all that well. But having Felipe Luis behind him there is just a safety net. And also he adds when he comes in and attacks, and brilliant. Just he's so good at one-on-ones. He's never in trouble, never gets dispossessed poorly without recovering. And just brilliant, absolutely brilliant. The best left-back, right-back, the best full-back combo in the world at the moment, or in Europe at the moment, anyway. And there's so much of their play comes from the left and right that teams have to kind of commit to those sides, and then the centre opens up, and then you've got Griezmann, you've got Koke picking passes, you've got Gamero running centrally, and they're just a really complete team at the moment.
And Koke, again, excellent. He looks very comfortable now in the centre of the park. He's getting to that point where it's becoming more and more natural. Just quick triangular passes in the middle of the park. Just making good decisions and really dictating things in midfield. Gabby, again, solid. Really, there wasn't really a bad performance out there. Even though Griezmann had a quiet game, he still assisted Carrasco's goal. Gamero was good, even though he didn't have many opportunities. I thought Gamero was pretty good. Used his pace to trouble Granada, though a lot of things troubled Granada, to be fair, on Saturday. Godin and Savage, when they were called into action, were very good.
Again, yeah, solid.
Yep.
Really, really solid partnership they're creating for themselves on top of the fullback. And they're such a complete... I know you wrote another article then about Atletico being the best team in Europe at the moment, and they are. They're so good. They're so solid. And I'm just excited now for the next time they get to play... they get Real Madrid before Christmas, and that's going to be exciting.
Yeah, or that's in the next couple of
November, actually. Yeah, so that's going to be really exciting to see, and see where Real Madrid are at, and see if they had. And this is the thing they had. I tweeted then after that, it's over to you now, Real Madrid. And I genuinely thought Betis might put it up to them, and given the fact that they've been unlucky in a couple of games, and Gus Poyet had kind of spoken out and things like that. And I thought Betis had come, maybe kind of take advantage of a Real Madrid who are supposedly in crisis, but not. They totally collapsed, and Real Madrid just took them to school. So it'll be interesting even to see where they're at, because nobody really knows exactly where they are at the moment, who Real Madrid are, and one or two injuries, and they're just an inch or two away from a crisis, or an injury or two away from a crisis, every all the time, or a draw away from a crisis. And I mean that's what you get, I suppose, when you're that big of a club with that big of a support and stuff like that. But nobody really knows who they are at the moment. So it'd be interesting to see when Atletico do play them next.
And Barcelona haven't had MSN together, for a lot of the season. I believe their game against City midweek will be like the second time they've had them together all season. So Barcelona have had injuries. Real Madrid have been inconsistent. And Atletico, sure, they put seven past a pretty sorry Granada side who are languishing bottom of the table, but it's hard to argue that right now in a vacuum that Atletico are not the best team in Europe. It's hard to argue that right now on form they're doing everything right now. They're in great shape, they're in great form, and still unbeaten on the year as we sit midway through October.
And Barcelona also have their own issues at right back. Alex Vidal looks like he's gone, and Sergio Roberto's injured, and Jordi Alba's injured, but he's coming back now, and they're going to be rushed into the game against City, apparently. And I mean, you don't know what's going to happen there. And then it's just very interesting time in the league at the moment.
It is. And Barcelona play Manchester City midweek in the Champions League. Atletico will travel to Russia. As we segue into our preview of Rostov and Atletico, it was a trip east last year that nearly cost Atletico Group C that goalless draw in Astana, which is a game I wish I could take back watching, but unfortunately, I watched it.
You never get those 90 minutes back.
That was when Atletico were still trying to get Jackson going. Remember those days?
Oh, yeah, the heady days of Jackson Martinez.
The Jackson Martinez era. He left us too soon.
Oh, God.
But at any rate. So,
yeah.
At any rate, Atletico do travel to Russia on Wednesday. Koke and Griezmann were hauled off a bit early than usual in preparation for this game. They both left about 25 minutes from time. Gamero pulled about half an hour from time as Cholo started to think ahead with the game against Granada decided. Will Atletico continue this run midweek? It's a long, long trip to, you know, grounds in Eastern Europe can be pretty hostile. What do Atletico need to do in your mind on Wednesday?
Yeah, well, I'm not sure who's going to be actually available, but and I know that Simeone does a kind of a partido, not kind of, he does partido a partido and things like that. But it'd be nice to see Saul back in action, maybe.
He will be back, yeah, he's going to play.
Yeah, and then I'm not sure about Jimenez either, but maybe, I mean, after the international break, like, we'll see how Godin is, but yeah, maybe rest some of those guys and in the build-up then, because, I mean, I know it's away, and I know, but, I mean, Bayern Munich gave them a bit of a hiding, PSV gave them a hiding, not a hiding, but beat them, and you'd think Atletico could do it, and maybe give some of the other guys a chance, but... Yeah, maybe start Torres, give Gamero a break, maybe start Correa again, because I mean Correa, my issue with Correa is that and he looked really good once he got into the game and he was trying his best, but it was just like Carrasco, he knows his opportunities are limited, so when he's given a chance or when he is given a chance he kind of forces it a little bit, snatches at chances, so maybe give him another chance to start. He got a goal, he did well, played the full game, and maybe give him another 90 minutes and it'll be a second in a row, get him into a bit of a routine. And you know, he wanted to leave in the summer just to get minutes, just to get playing time somewhere else, but Simeone promised him he wouldn't. And I mean, I'd play Correa, Saul, maybe get Jimenez on if he's fit, play Versalco, maybe, given the fact that he's...
I'd love to see Versalco, yeah. He needs to play.
Yeah. And, yeah, I'd probably rest some of the guys, but then again, you can't, like, Simeone's, and he has evolved, so maybe that, his philosophy has evolved to an extent. But, yeah, I definitely get Versalco, Correa, maybe Torres, and Saul on the field.
Yeah, Correa was...
Maybe even start Thiago.
Yeah, give him a reward for scoring the seventh and final goal on Saturday. Interesting about Correa, he played mostly on the wing, which he played a couple times last year and was not very good, but he played on the wing Saturday and was excellent. So maybe that is something that Simeone will look to do a little more often, play him off on a wing instead of more forward in a 4-3-3. A word on Rostov, finished second in the Russian Premier League last season, conceded the fewest goals in the league. They're currently fifth in the table. 5 wins, a draw, 4 defeats. They've conceded 9 goals in 10 games. They conceded 20 all of last season. And they lost to Spartak Moscow 1-0 over the weekend. So they're not exactly in the greatest form in the league. They have not won yet in the group stage. They lost 5-0 in Munich and drew with PSV 2-2. However, you know, it is a trip east. It's a long, long trip. And Atletico don't have, you know, a week off. They're going to have 3 days off, basically, so it could be a difficult game.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Sounds like it.
Would you hazard to offer a scoreline prediction?
Yeah, like I said earlier at the start of the podcast, I don't like getting too far ahead of myself. It was a 7-1, fair enough, but it's in Rostov. I'm sure it's not going to be warm there after the game Saturday, for long travel. Maybe a I don't think they're going to concede, but yeah, maybe a 2-0 Atletico.
I'm guessing 1-0. I'm going
to
go with
1-0. Yeah, no, yeah, I was actually kind of between the two, because I was just thinking back to PSV and that, and yeah, I'll say 2-0, but yeah, 1-0 is fair, right? I wouldn't argue with you.
it could be a difficult game, and there could be some rotation. In fact, there should be some rotation. I would love to see Versalco out there, Saul will play, probably start, as he's back in training, fully recovered from the ankle tweak he received during his time with the Spanish national team. So, yeah, we'll see what happens on Wednesday. And after that, Atletico return to La Liga and visit Sevilla. So a couple difficult games here as Atletico come out of international break. But we will be back to preview and discuss that game. In the meantime, you can follow us on Twitter at Into the Calderon. Follow me at JB Barron. Follow Robbie at Robbie J. Dunn. Like us on Facebook. Don't hesitate to get in touch. And we're really nice people. So
not the worst of them.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, don't hesitate to get in touch, and we will be back hopefully later this week, Robbie.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, should be good to go.
Yep, we'll be back to discuss the game against Rostov and preview the weekend's game against Sevilla. So until then, I'm Jeremy,
and I am Robbie, and we will remain Robbie.
You and I will remain Jeremy. We'll catch you next time. Salut.
Adios. All right, man. Sounds good.
Just a sec.